than God's Word in the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." God's holy word, may he write upon our hearts. You may be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, every believer should be thrilled at the inspired recounting of these events in the passage before us. We see the reality of the resurrection here. And we do thrill at that, don't we? We gather every Lord's Day precisely because our Lord was raised on this day. Every Lord's Day we're reminded then. We serve a risen Savior. Every Lord's Day we're reminded that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. The risen, exalted Christ is with his people to the end of the age. We rejoice in that. So yes, we see the reality of the resurrection here. We thrill at that. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ is described to us here. We thrill at that. But we should also be thrilled at what we see Jesus doing here. How he showed himself, ministered to his own on the first day of the week, the first Lord's Day. Why should we be thrilled about what we see him doing here? Well, we should be thrilled because the same way in which he ministered to his own on this first Lord's Day, as we read it here, is the way he ministers to his own every Lord's Day to the end of the world. So the pattern is very important here. We see a pattern here that our Savior gives to us. The same way that he ministered to his own on this first Lord's Day, the way we see it described here, he continues. Yes, he continues to minister to his people, to us, this morning, on this Lord's Day. He ministers in precisely the same way at his heart as we see him ministering here. So our theme this morning is very simple, and the points very simple. We see how our Lord Jesus Christ ministers to his own on the first Lord's Day, and we find rich encouragement in it. We see two main things here, I think. First, we see the Lord Jesus minister peace and assurance to his own, and then we see him empowering them for service. This he does every Lord's Day. Jesus Christ, present with us this morning, does this in us. We can say, of course, he ministers peace and assurance, and he empowers. He does here, and he does here this morning, he does what only he can do. All of us come this morning, don't we, with great need. If we have any sense about our need and our sin, and we confessed our sin earlier, right? I mean, all of us come, or we should be coming, with a sense of our great need. And there's only one who can meet us in our need, and that is why we're here. Because Jesus Christ is present with his church, and he ministers here. The world doesn't get that. Those without faith don't understand it. I mean, why would you do this, you know? Gathering every week? Same place? And you have to, and in the evening too? Is this some sort of punishment? You know, gathering every week to hear the minister basically say the same thing. Really? Of course, the whole counsel of God, we understand that. But basically, preaching Christ every Lord's Day. Why do we do this? Well, short answer is because it's real. Because Jesus Christ really is present with us. This is why we do this. But we see him minister here. First, we see him minister peace and assurance. And we see it really in three parts, his ministering of peace and assurance. Jesus comes to them, then he greets them with words of peace, and then he addresses their fears and their misapprehensions. Very important. He comes to them, he greets them with words of peace, and then he addresses their fears and their misapprehensions. You know, you want to say, we say that, it's, wow, this is perfect. This is precisely what I need. He comes to them, he greets them with words of peace, he addresses their fears and their misapprehensions. So he comes to them. Isn't this beautiful? Jesus comes to them. And it is the first day of the week. We say a pattern for all time to the end of the age. Yes, here is ushered in, of course, that change of the day of worship. And Christ's own people have ever since gathered for worship on the first day of the week. Why? Now, you already know the answer to this, but we'll repeat it anyway. Why the first day of the week? Well, because Jesus, our Savior, was raised on the first day of the week. End of argument. Right? I mean, ding, ding, ding. I mean, for those confused about this, what can we say? They just don't get the reality of the resurrection. Jesus was raised. My Savior was raised on this day. And I'm reminded of it on this day. And I need very much to be reminded of it every Lord's Day. Yes, our Savior was raised on the first day of the week. Why else do we worship on the first day of the week? Well, because Jesus, our Savior, appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week. And we say because our Savior first ministered to his own on the first day of the week. So yes, there's a pattern here, an intended pattern for our worship. So though we gather, this is a nice facility, but you know, we gather in a very ordinary place. We're very ordinary people, but we gather together on this, the first day of the week, and we're to know that Jesus Christ is present with us, even as Pastor is alluded to, mentioned, prayed. Great to see Pastor Chernock here, by the way. What a wonderful day we have to seek the Lord. And to be encouraged as to what he does in us on this day. Now, the scriptures say the disciples were meeting very privately for fear of the Jews. The doors were shut. Scripture says the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So the doors are shut for fear of the Jews. We also know from Luke's gospel that there was much uncertainty and confusion. The disciples had been discussing various appearances of the Lord. The Lord had appeared to Mary Magdalene. We see in the previous section here, actually. He had appeared to Mary Magdalene. He had, we also know from the gospel of Luke, appeared to Simon Peter by this point. He had appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You remember what it says there? He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Then he vanished from their sight. So the room's abuzz here. We're talking about these appearances, but there's still much uncertainty and fear and confusion. What is their problem? What is their problem? Their basic problem. Same as ours. It's unbelief. Now, when I say that, of course, you understand. We don't mean they weren't believers yet. They were believers. But at the root of all of our problems, basically, is unbelief. And that's what we see here. Fear, confusion, uncertainty. I think again about what he said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know, he says they're downcast, they're talking, and the Lord there, the Lord Jesus there says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So their basic problem, it's unbelief. What do they need? They need Jesus to come to them. And that is what he does here, brothers and sisters. My basic need this morning, I mean, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But like the man in the Gospels who says, "I believe, help my unbelief," my belief is still weak. Who is it? Who is it that can solve this problem? All of us here, still growing in faith, at a certain level, weak in faith. Who is the one who can answer this? Who's the one who can resolve this problem? There's only one. And he's the only one this morning who can do anything for us. So I'm a very ordinary, I mean, you know this, I'm a very ordinary guy. We're a bunch of ordinary people. The means of grace, they appear very ordinary, don't they? But in reality, they're not ordinary at all. They're extraordinary. So as the one who's gifted stands to speak and he preaches truly according to the word of God, what's going on? Jesus Christ himself speaks to his people. So we see this here, don't we? We see it here. What do they need? They need the same thing that you and I need this morning. I need for Jesus to come to me. And he promises that he will. He's promised that he does. This is what I need. I need for Jesus Christ to come to me. And I need for Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit, through his word and through his sacrament, to minister in my heart and do in me what only he can do. And praise God, this is what he does. It's an amazing thing. He really does do it every Lord's Day. He really does. Now, at this point, you can all jump up and say hallelujah. Okay? I realize we're Presbyterians here, right? Yeah. So, you know, we're not really good at the praise God thing, you know. But, you know, we're getting it. We're learning, right? Okay. All things decently and in order. We understand it. We're really good at that. Hey, and I love that. I love all things decently and in order. Praise God. But Jesus Christ is present here with us this morning by his Spirit. And he works in us this morning. He comes to them. Scripture says he comes to them and he stood among them. He's there right in the center. And brothers and sisters, spiritually, this is what he does today. He is here. He is right in the midst of us here. And eyes of faith get that, don't they? They understand that. Jesus comes, stands in their midst. Now notice the first thing that Jesus says. He greets them with words of peace. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now you can be sure this salutation was conveyed with spiritual power. It's the living Christ who speaks here. Peace be with you. And he's ministering peace even as he speaks. He greets his own. You can be sure their hearts are strangely warmed. Thus, he begins to minister to them. Now again, why is this significant? It's significant because we see a pattern. We see a pattern of Jesus dealing with this church from this point forward to the end of the world. You had it, we had it, didn't we, at the beginning of the service? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the apostolic greeting. And because Christ is present, brothers and sisters, that greeting means something. You need to hear it when it's brought. You need to hear it from your enthroned Savior when it's brought. You need to hear it from the Christ who's present with us this morning when that is brought. Well, what does Jesus do next? Well, he addresses their fears and their misapprehension. Scripture, verse 20 says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Don't you love that? Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He addresses their fears and misapprehension. How? He does it by the revelation of himself. By the revelation of himself. He makes clear that it is indeed he. He comes to them in flesh and blood. But his appearance, we note again, is different. In the section previous to this, Mary did not recognize him at first until he spoke her name. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they did not know it was him until the breaking of the bread. The disciples here, there's that sense in which they don't know at first that it's the Lord. How does he assure them? How does he show himself to them? How does he begin here to address their fears and their misapprehensions? How are they helped to know that it's the Lord? How does he reveal himself to them? He does it by the emblems of his suffering. The emblems of his suffering. So he graciously gives them assurances of the resurrection, the reality of that. And he shows them the unmistakable marks on his body. We say the emblems of his suffering, the emblems of his death. He really suffered and died. And brothers and sisters, you know, we know that means something. He really died. He really suffered. We're reminded of this every Lord's Day. Of course, this morning uniquely in the Lord's Supper. The emblems of his suffering and death, which is to say, your Savior really died for you in your stead, in my stead. He suffered hell for me in my place. Now, how often do you need to hear that? I submit to you, we need to hear it every Lord's Day. That's why the Lord gathers us every Lord's Day. He shows us again the emblems of his suffering. Really, also, yes, the emblems of his victory over sin and death. He really died. He really suffered. He's really alive. He really overcame sin and death in our stead. The proofs of his great love. Think of it that way. He shows us the proofs of his great love. We come to the table later on. We come to the table. We remember his death. We see here, we hold in our hands the emblems of his suffering, his shed blood. We drink the wine. We eat the bread. The emblems of his suffering. These are the proofs of his atoning sacrifice, which is to say, now this is so basic, but I need to hear it every Lord's Day. My sin, your sin, is really purged away. Now that's so basic, isn't it? But we need to be reminded of it all the time. All of my sin purged away. Often, I submit to you, oftentimes as Christians, oftentimes, we live as if that's not the case. So we need to hear it again and again. And we should go out of this place. You know, the doors burst open, you know. Praise God! You know? All of my sin is purged away. It's so basic, isn't it? But Jesus ministers this to us again and again. He ministers it to us every Lord's Day. Yes, the proofs of his atoning sacrifice, the proofs of the Father's love. Yes, he makes clear that it is indeed he, and they are glad. They are glad. Fears, misapprehensions, confusion. Anybody here have that today? I want to ask for a show of hands. As Presbyterians, you don't do this. You don't raise your hands, right? Anybody have that today? Any fears out there? Any confusion? Any misapprehension? Jesus Christ addresses it. He's addressing it even as the word is preached. And as we come to the table, he ministers to us and in us. Yes, there's a pattern here for every Lord's Day to the end of the age. We gather together in Jesus' name, and what does he do? He does what only he can do. He comes to us, especially on this day. He shows himself to us. How does he do it? By the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacrament. Again, the means, they appear very ordinary, right? Here it is. Very ordinary. Our worship is very simple, isn't it? Very ordinary means. So that the world as it looks on, again, they think, why on earth would you do this week after week? You come together, you open the same book. The man, he basically says the same thing every Lord's Day. And then you come back and you hear it in the evening too? Why would you do this? And you know the answer, of course. Why do we do this? Because Jesus Christ really is here. The throne of God touches the earth wherever the people of God gather in Jesus' name. That's where the throne of God touches the earth. Young person, you want excitement? You want to know where the center of the universe is? It's here. It's here. Or wherever God's people meet on the Lord's Day, uniquely, he's present. Throne of God touches the earth. This is where it's happening. More than anywhere else in the world. Of course, it's happening all over the world, hour by hour, because God's people are meeting, and he's meeting them. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? He's doing this all the time. But what I was saying a moment ago, young people, you know, you want excitement? This is it. You want your life changed? It happens here. You want to hear the Son of God speak? It only happens here. So the exciting place in the world is not, you know, oh, let's go into the big city, you know. Let's do that. Man, people are active there. It's exciting, you know. They're vibrant and everything. Yeah. Right, yeah. This is where it happens. This is why we gather. This is why we're here this morning, isn't it? There's nothing like it in all the world. We just need to see it. We just need to believe it. Now, it's true whether we believed it or not, but if we're going to benefit, we need to believe, don't we? Oh, but I'm weak in faith. Who's going to help me with that? We already answered the question, right? Jesus meets us. So our Lord Jesus Christ ministers peace and assurance to his disciples. What next? Well, he does that again, which he alone can do. He empowers them for service. Anybody need power here? Anybody need power in their service? Anybody need to be strengthened spiritually? And we're not talking, when we say that, we're not talking about something you feel. This is faith. This is a matter of faith, yes. We're not talking about feeling wow. No. We're talking about invisible spiritual realities. And Jesus Christ ministers power to his people. And every one of us this morning needs the same thing in that respect, don't we? You go to your job tomorrow, you go to school tomorrow, whatever you're doing tomorrow, your interactions with other people, what do you need? I mean, we're all called, aren't we? We're all called to minister and show the love of Christ every day of our lives. And we need spiritual power to do that. I cannot do that of myself, can I? I need spiritual power. And Jesus ministers this power. He does today. So we see it here. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now notice first again, Jesus again, he ministers peace to them again. Powerful ministration of peace. Double emphasis here. What's that tell us? He's ministering something we very much need. He does it twice. He's ministering in this way because uniquely, this we struggle with. Maybe it sounds odd to say that, but this we struggle with. To know that all is really well between me and God. Because we come in of a Lord's Day, and of course we've struggled through the week, and we come in, and so often it's the case, or at some level, I guess you'd say it's always the case, there can be this lingering thought that really, you know, because of my sin, Jesus really doesn't want to meet me today. You know, I come in, we can have a lingering suspicion, you know, that he's kind of, I'm glad you're here, but, you know, it's been a lousy week. And if you're really serious and you stay around, maybe I'll minister to you, okay? Well, as one author very, very wonderfully said, Jesus in his grace leans into us. He's more ready to minister in us than we think he is. And so this word with double emphasis here is very important for us. He ministers peace. Get it now. He ministers peace twice here. Why? Because I need it. And that's why we have the gospel, right? That's why we have the gospel threaded through our whole liturgy. There's a sense in which, you know, good reform, good sound liturgy, there's that thread that runs through it of Jesus Christ saying in a number of ways, whereas we sing it too, but Jesus Christ saying in a number of ways, all is well. I've done everything for you. All of your sin is truly purged away. Again, in our unbelief, is it really so? Is it really so? You know? But you know how I just failed. I failed yesterday terribly. I failed this morning terribly. If we know our own hearts, you know, welcome to knowing your own heart here, right? Jesus ministers peace. All is well. So we could put it this way. What's Jesus doing here? In effect, we see Jesus ministering the gospel here. Peace be with you. All is well. I died in your place. I'm alive. All of your sin is purged away. God's favor, the Father's favor, really rests upon you. All is well. All is really, really well. Brothers and sisters, it's more well than we tend to believe. This is the nature of grace. This is the nature of real grace. And we are of such weakness in faith that we need to hear this again and again. We need to hear it every Lord's Day. All is well. All is really, really well. Jesus died in our place. Jesus has triumphed over my sin. He's brought me near to God. The favor of God rests upon me. It can never be removed from me. Jesus' love for me will never, ever, ever diminish. It never will. My situation, my standing in Christ cannot be improved upon. It is a perfect thing. It's based entirely upon what he's done for me. Yes, I need to hear this every Lord's Day. You know, theologically we call it the indicative, right? I got to hear the indicative. What God has done for me in Christ, I need to hear it every Lord's Day. And then I begin to understand the imperatives better, right? Jesus has done everything for me. Well, Jesus assures them of the authority of their mission. He says, "Peace to you," to them he says. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Because as the Father empowered Jesus in all of his mission, he will empower these disciples. Same divine authority expressed in and through the Son will be expressed in and through these apostles. In the preaching of the cross, and he empowers them here for their service. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he supplies the Spirit to them. It's a special, you know, we understand it's a special anointing here. Pentecost hasn't taken place yet. So special anointing, special ministration, but the pattern holds. The pattern remains the same. Every child of God is indwelt by the Spirit of God. We understand that, right? Romans 8. Every child of God is indwelt by the Spirit of God, and that's the case onward to eternity. But it's Jesus Christ who empowers by the Spirit. And this is what he does. This is what he does every Lord's Day. Now again, you can say, well, Pastor, I already have the Spirit. I'm well taught. You know, I'm reformed. I already have the Spirit. Yes. And you need to be empowered all the more by the Spirit. And it's Jesus Christ who ministers this. So yes, we say a special anointing. I think you may see here a parallel to Luke's gospel where the scripture there says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, which is to say, this empowering is always joined to the ministration of the Word of God. So that's how Jesus ministers his power, right? He ministers his truth to our hearts, and as he ministers his truth to our hearts, that is how I am empowered for service. You can't separate those two, Word and Spirit, right? Never want to separate Word and Spirit. So we see them together in our Lord's ministration. Now you might say, you know what? You know, on the Lord's Day, I feel particularly revived and refreshed. Ain't that something? I feel particularly revived and refreshed. Of course. Who is it who does that? It's the living Christ who does that. Finally here, Jesus assures these disciples of his presence and authority in their gospel service. And so really he assures us as well. We see the pattern here. But he assures them in particular of his presence and authority in their gospel service. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, we need to be very clear on this. It is Jesus Christ alone who forgives sins. It is Jesus Christ alone who retains sins, which is to say, who pronounces judgment and brings judgment. This is all about authority, in other words. Here's the authority. We could say, here's the authority of gospel preaching described here. All about authority. The very authority of Jesus Christ is manifested in the preaching of the gospel. In other words, when the gospel is preached, Jesus Christ speaks. He reveals himself. And he grants forgiveness of sins. And so these apostles would declare by their preaching, in the preaching of the gospel, to that one who trusts in Christ alone, his sins are forgiven. That's amazing. To that one who trusts in Christ alone, his sins are forgiven. To that one who rejects Jesus Christ, he remains in his sins. The wrath of God rests upon him. Such a simple message. So we say again this morning, we're gathered here in this place, as the word of Christ is preached, as Christ is preached, it is of eternal moment what's going on here. There may be one here resisting this morning. Well, you need to know, there's that sense in which nobody leaves this place unchanged. You either bow down in faith and worship Jesus Christ and trust in him alone, or you harden yourself, and you are responsible for hardening yourself. But nobody goes away unchanged because Christ is the one who speaks. I think of him on earth. I mean, same thing during his ministry. Nobody really went away unchanged. They either believed or they hardened themselves. They either received or they rejected. It's of eternal moment. So these disciples are to know that they are not alone in their ministrations, in their preaching of the gospel. They're to know they don't do this on their own. It's a great encouragement, isn't it, for a pastor? You stand to preach how we need this. We are not on our own when we preach this word. It's a good thing, because we're a mess, you know? We're not on our own. Jesus Christ is pleased to speak and to work in his body, in the church. It's amazing, even though all of us are a mess. We really are. I was reading in 2 Corinthians this morning, I was reminded of it again. You know, wow, what a mess the church is in so many respects. But it's the bride of Christ. And he loves us to the end of the world. And when we gather in his name, though we're very weak, we have all kinds of problems, we still need to grow in grace every day of our lives. He speaks to us. And he changes us. It's amazing. So we find encouragement this morning, I trust. That same way that our Lord Jesus Christ ministered to his own on that first Lord's Day, the first day of the week, so long ago, is the way that he continues to minister to us, his people, today and every Lord's Day. He comes to us. He comes to us. He's come to us. He ministers peace and assurance. He's doing that in us today. He empowers us to serve him. So yes, we clearly see the disciples' dimness mirrors our own weakness. And these are sourced in the same deficiency as we have in ourselves and requires the same remedy across the whole of our lives. Now we bring this application to with respect to worship, and I've said some things about it already. But worship, corporate worship, is more transformative than any other activity in which we will ever engage. And the means appear, as we said, the means appear ordinary, don't they? But by the power of the risen Christ, the risen and exalted Christ, they become extraordinary. Do you have fears, uncertainties, doubts? Only Jesus Christ can address those things. You're in the right place. We're in the right place. We can put it this way: our sanctification, our spiritual growth is advanced more in worship than in any other activity, so that all of us truly go out different than we came in. That is a gospel fact. That is a principle of the invisible world. All of us go out different than we came in. Now, not a physical change, but a spiritual change. Incremental, to be sure, but certain. So it's like watching the grass grow, right? Especially grass really slows down this time of year, right? It's like watching the grass grow. You watch it, I don't see anything happening, right? And true, we usually only see our spiritual growth in retrospect. But be assured of this, spiritually speaking, the grass grew today. Yeah. You're different than when you came in. Praise God. This is what our Savior does. He meets us and he empowers us for service. Spiritual empowerment for service. And again, what's our the service of all of us now? What am I called to do? I'm called to live for Christ. I'm called to bear testimony of him. Simply put, I'm called to love my neighbor, right? And I need spiritual power for this. And I get it. I have it in Christ. So I go out different than I came in. I go out, if I could put it this way just now, I go out a better lover of my neighbor than when I came in. I still need to lean upon the Spirit of God all the way through. Abide in Christ, right? But I'm empowered for service. Praise God. praise the Lord for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? This isn't an ordinary gathering at all. This fellowship goes on forever. Forever. That's why we love it. That's why we love to be together. We know Christ is working, and we bless Him for it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus, You are present with us here by Your Spirit. We thank You that You work in us, and even as we come to the table, You strengthen us as we come to the table. Give to us as we come, to come by faith, and so to be strengthened and nourished, built up. How we thank You for these mysteries that eyes of unbelief cannot see, but You've given us to see and to taste and to know the things of the gospel, know the things of Christ. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.